Oh, once we're on hay, I wanted to mention that I should have mentioned yesterday when we were talking about the cow. I forgot somebody asked why we're talking about the cow hay. We're talking about cow hay, Elon. But that was the mission. That was the mission before. No, that's the end of hay. So I mean, it could be that the point over there is that people here, as I mentioned, the problem of whether you own the karka. So those who learn the cow hay, Elon, is specifically the young saplings, and that's why we call them kilchem, because they're just sprouting, is because they bought them in order to dig them up and take them out of that field. They didn't buy them in order to leave them in the field, in which case there would be no din of owning the karka. So I mentioned to you, it's a machlokas whether there is a need bechlal to own the karka when it comes the way it is, let's say, by by the bikurim. Is there also a din like that when it comes to peah because of the Ktzir Aretzichem? Today's Mishnah in Masechet Peah is Perek Gimel, Mishnah Vav. So for the first time, we're going to discuss what the shiur is of the field that you own that is large enough to be mechayev you to take off peah. So Rebbe Eliezer Omer, even Karka Beit Rova is chayevet bepeah. Now, a beit rova, remember, is an area in which you can plant a rova kav of seeds. So it's measured by the planting capacity. So where in the world would he get such an idea? Because the truth is that the minimum shear, as we're going to see in Masechet Kilayim, that is called a sadeh, to separate between Kilayim, is a Beit Rova. And therefore, say, Rebbe Eliezer, Svara is that if that's what's considered to be a separating field between two areas of different minim, then that should be the shear of Sodecha. And how do we learn out Bechlal that din of Beit Rova being a field? Because Lamaisa, we go, it's very interesting, as we get all the way back to the Chatzar HaMishkan. So the Medrash learns out this Tosefta that from the Chatzar HaMishkan, which remember was 50 by 100, which is 5,000 amos squared, that is the shear of planting a double sa'a, Beit Sa'atayim. So if that's a Beit Sa'atayim, so then the shear, since look, the Sa'atayim we're talking about here, he says a Beit Rova HaKav. So remember, it takes six Kav for making one Sa'a. And that would mean that a quarter of a Kav would be four times six, which is a 24th of a Sa'a. And in terms of the Chatzar HaMishkan, it would be half of that, which was a 48th. And that would give us 10 and a Chamishit of an Amma square, would be the shear of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, it's not measured by the planting capacity. It's measured by the yield. It has to be an area that will yield ha'oseh sa'atayim. Because since it says over here, bikutzurecha, so then the bikutzurecha is a measurement of yield. It's not a measurement of what the field is. And what makes you say two sa'ah? Because we're going to see later on here in Peah, actually, that the din of Shikha is defined by that precise shear. Because since it says, Davka shechachta omer basadeh, so lo teshuv lekachto, that if something is not considered to be an omer, and instead it's considered to be a goodish, so at that point you're allowed to go back, and it's not called Shikha. That means that that shear of the Gaddish, which over there, in fact, is Sa'atayim, is pater from the Chiyuv of Shikha, because it's no longer just a little bit of grain. It's a valuable yield. And so therefore, if that's what you're allowed to go back and take, and it's not called Shikha, something that's forgettable, then that would be also make sense that just like we use that word Sada, we use that for Shikha, and it has to be a place that yields sa'atayim. So when it says satcha of kitzir by peah, it means also Osa Sataim. Now, Osa Sataim is smaller, a smaller area than a place that is ro for planting a Beit Rova. So we're going down. Rabbi Eliezer has, in fact, the largest share in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehoshua has the second largest share. Rabbi Tarfon says we can learn out from Kilayim, Shisha al Shisha Tvachim. So that's the famous Mishnah that we had in Kilayim many times of how to split up 6 by 6 Tvachim area into areas that would be mutar and would not be Kilayim. So that's the smallest place that we would call a Sodecha. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira Omer, look, it's enough to be kotzer v'lishnot. You need to be able to do a partial ketzira, and then you need to be able to leave the peah, which would be another ketzira, and that is left for the ani. Well, that's all that you need. Now, the shear of liktzor v'lishnot means one act of ketzira. An act of ketzira is to hold the grain in your fist, so you have a whole fist full of grain, whatever you could, you're holding your sickle in the other hand, and you're cutting it. That's the normal way to do it. And it says over here, bekutzrechas, so you're supposed to leave another kotzer, so that means one fist and another fist. So if there's enough there for two fistfuls, and this is also, as the Rishonim point out, it's based on the beautiful pasuk of Shalom milei chapo kotzer, v'chitzno me'amer. So you see that it's measured by that fistful and the cutting of it. So that is apparently all that you need, which is, of course, much smaller. V'halacha kidvarav. Now, the truth is, when a Mishnah paskens a halacha, it doesn't mean that that's the halacha. And we don't pasken like this. But because we always go, the halacha is always after the basra. Rabbi Akiva says the smaller shear of all. Karka kolshehu is chayevet bepeah. Not only is karka kolshehu, so basically, even though it says soda, even something that it says, the Gemara asks, how is it shayach that it should be considered to be a soda if it's kolshehu? Kolshehu would mean that you have enough for one grain, to plant one grain of wheat, and you've got like one stalk of wheat coming out, so how could you leave the peah? Ah, but a stalk of wheat has got numerous seeds of wheat on it, so you could leave the peah by leaving one of those seeds, and you take the rest. So therefore, even a literal koshu would be chayevet bepeah. And says Rabbi Akiva, and this is going to actually define us here to till the end of the parak. We're going to be discussing this idea of koshu that Rabbi Akiva raises. Rabbi Akiva mentions already with it a number of things besides the chiyuv of peah. So a kolshu is chayevet bepeah, and it's chayevet bebikurim, and if you own a kolshu of land, you can actually write a prusbo on it. So what does that mean? What do we need a prusbo for? So that's, if you recall, that's a big machlokas about why you need to have land in order to write a prusbo. So the pashtus is that since a prusbo works by being essentially moser shtarotav lebeit din, so in writing that prusbo, the beis din is signing that we have taken over this guy's loans. They can take over this guy's loans so that it should be considered as if they were already collected before Shemitah, only if there's a way to collect them. See, if the guy owns property, so then the court can simply go and take that property. But if there's no property for a lien to be chal on, how is the prusbo supposed to work? You can't just make a statement that we're taking over your loans. So because of that, you need property. So you'll say, yeah, but what good is a mashu of property since a mashu isn't worth anything? Ah, but the din is that in another Gavi rule, ein ona'a, you already wrote this one down, so you don't have to show us the sparks, the ein ona'a lekarkaot, and therefore, a piece of karka can be valued at $100,000 for 1 square inch, you know, and it wouldn't be considered to be ona'a because it's all location, location, location. Gosh, just think, this might be right smack bang in the middle of where Donald Trump puts his golf ball, you know? So after
Or a
all,
Beit Rova, Rebbe.
what's that?
A Beit Rova is way overpriced.
Buy it in the Rova, exactly. Very good. So that would mean that you could collect from it, theoretically, at least. So because of that, we need that mashu karka. Others learned that the reason that we need mashu karka, gosh, I say this over because, I mean, it's so much runs against my migraine. But what can you do? This is what many of them are for Shubtaina. And that is that since the Rabbanan only make takonis on a dover that is shchicha, it's not shchicha for loans to be made if there wasn't some kind of backup for the loan. So they were never metakim prusbo for a dover she'ena shchicha, and the people will generally not make a loan if they don't have something that they feel they're going to be able to recover the loan from. Okay, in any event, you do need karka, and Rabbi Akiva is telling me the need for karka is kol shehu. Furthermore, that tiny little bit of karka is sufficient to be liknotima nechasim she'en lem achrayut bekesef b'shtar u'bechazakah. Now, as you recall, we had numerous occasions when we spoke about this halacha, which is that nechasim she'en lem achrayut, and that means it's another way of referring to metaltalin, because metaltalin do not take loans, liens. And only karka takes liens. Now, this was changed, actually, in the time of the Gaonim, who were mitaken, let's say, that a ksuva can be collected, as we write today, afilu miglima, da'al katfoy, which is metaltalin. And therefore, nowadays, we have liens that can be chal. This was because of the fact that, unfortunately, in Golis, there were many tkufas in which Jews were not even allowed to have property, which was a tremendous problem in terms of these halachas. And so, therefore, there is, in fact, today lien even on metaltalin. But since what we're talking about over here is kinyanim, there's completely different ways, remember, of being kind of metaltalin, which you'd have to actually pick up or do the ways that you transfer metaltalin by handing it over and so on. Masha'in kin karka, you can do a kinyan with things that are not necessarily doable for metaltalin. So let's say you want to give somebody, we had cases like this in the Gemara, you want to transfer to someone 100 barrels of wine that are somewhere up in the north, and you want to transfer them, you're not even up in the north, and you want to transfer. How do you transfer it? So we had the cases in which what you do is you transfer a tiny quarter inch by quarter inch plot of land to that person. And then since together with nechasim sheyesh lehem achrayut, you can transfer nechasim she'en lehem achrayut, so you say, I'm writing you a shtar for this quarter of an inch of land, and together with your kinyan of this quarter inch of land with a shtar, you will also be kona the wine that I have up north. We had, remember this whole shiloh where you had to go collect the debt to Papa. Was a lot of cases, silly stock quoting cases. So that is the shiur, another example of even karka kol shehu. Now we're going to be going through in the coming Mishnayot, we're going to go through other cases where karka kol shehu has all of the din of karka. Okay, Rabotzai, it's been lovely being with you, and look forward, Bezrat Hashem. I think that David Solomon might have left that hand up by accident, or is
no, it? No, question. How does the shitas in this Mishnah jive with the previous Mishnah where you're chayav and pay on a single tree? Which is not the size of a field.
All of this is obviously, if that's a very good point, all of this is only said on karka. The idea that something would have chashivas as a unit is also still true. So even though you may not even need to own the land in order to be chayav in pay, as I mentioned before, and there, the chashivas of the organism that you own is sufficient to be mechayevet in peya.
Well, not a chiyev in sod. Well, we wouldn't apply sod chad.
It's not called. The use of sod over here means the sod that has been used for grain specifically. Mm-hmm. Okay, Rabosai, it's been fun. Look forward, Bezrat Hashem, to another miraculous day tomorrow amidst Bisurot Tovot. Kol Tov.